It's a song actually about buying condoms from the chemist.
I think you'll find.
Is that right?
That's true.
This is a chemist, not a joke shop.
That's what it's all about.
Follow. Welcome to The Chemists. It's Get This Around the Nation on Triple M with myself, Tony Martin. Oh, look, please do that. Ed Cavalier's here.
If you can, try not to fall for it, because they will break your heart.
Dear, oh dear.
Hey, we have got Richard Marsland.
Howdy, women's underwear, like slices.
Oh, what a classy old program.
What a fantastic...
Animal House, Rich.
There was panic in the office today as word went around the station that they blocked YouTube.
Oh, man.
I have never seen Ed Cavalier. So devastating.
Yeah, I was having to think of things to do for the 12 hours after this show. What on earth was I going to do with my time? Thankfully, back on.
It's a false alarm.
And I actually had three or four already stored up just on the screen of the computer. So everything's going to be okay. Cat, if you're out there, jump into sync. I will find you.
Wheelie bin races can continue.
Yeah, please, unabated. Oh, you know what I did see on the old tube yesterday?
What's that?
R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet.
Oh, it's brilliant, isn't it?
The hip opera.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 12 episodes. Full-length version. Yeah, so I'm glad that's back. You know, there was just that sense of panic around the place. You could feel people on other shows.
Yeah.
And it was stereo. Got to know YouTube policy.
Yeah, what are we...
It's the foundation of our progress.
All modern radio is built.
I know some workplaces do go the block. But, you know, since we've got it back on, what fuel has it provided in Cavalier? What big stories are you sitting on for today's show?
Check it out. Deer crashes through Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, it's about time.
Customers at a Chuck E. Cheese restaurant got more than they bargained for when a deer crashed through the window. The deer jumped through the window at the pizza restaurant in Southern somewhere, in a mall somewhere.
Yeah, I know that place.
Do you?
Southern somewhere.
What?
I've been to Southern somewhere.
Look, Chuck E. Cheese is just trying to outdo the old Animal Zoo pasta meals at McDonald's.
With live deers.
It's getting live deer with every meal purchase. The deer was so popular, he's been booked for three children's birthdays after his appearance. Later on, the deer was injured, but was taken out of the restaurant and turned loose. He then jumped into the window of a very posh dining room and was asked to leave for not having the correct jacket.
No, of course he was. That bloke, that bloke there, did we put that up on the wall?
Oh, well, it's a deer.
Unlikely accident.
Yeah. Unlikely accident.
Involving livestock.
Yep, done.
And frontages of stores. Because I know we're always looking for stores about, stories about cars driving through houses. Listen to this one. Third time unlucky. A 23-year-old New Zealander who I'm sure we'll
be seeing him soon.
He'll be in one of the many shows on Foxtel.
Yeah.
Tried to steal three vehicles in under 2 minutes. Crashed every one of them. Got into the first car, parked in a driveway, drove it into the side of a house, ran off.
Good.
Okay, I've still got another one in me. Jumped into someone's ute, backed it into a letterbox. Got out, stole a truck, which he managed to roll down an 8-metre embankment. This is all in the city, they say, the town of the Hobbitshire of Blenheim. The offender was taken to hospital with minor to moderate injuries.
I mean, you know, that is... 2 minutes. So he's jumped in.
2 minutes.
Quickly give it the old Jack Bauer work. Bang, bang. Into the front of a house. Got to get away. Jump in the ute. Jack Bauer trip. Bang.
In reverse.
Yeah, letterbox.
Through a letterbox.
I need something bigger.
These truck.
These things stop when they bang into things.
He's rolled the truck 8 metres down a hill. Straight into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, done well, that guy.
If they had to put that in the film Gone in 60 Seconds, I would have gone to
you
see
would have
that.
Watched it.
Gone in 120 seconds, three cars.
Mm-hmm. Would you have seen, did you see Gone in 60 Seconds, Tokyo Drift?
No, I never did.
It was Fast and the Furious, Tokyo Drift.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
I saw that.
I was actually the reader in the auditions for that, the local auditions. You know, people had to do amazing stuff, but they had to come in and, fight someone, air karate fight somebody, and then get punched in the face and lie on the ground. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
There was a Gone in 60 Seconds too, of the original Gone in 60 Seconds. Right. Was it J.B. Halecki? He was the director and stunt coordinator of the original Gone in 60 Seconds, which has some amazing pranks in it.
Yeah.
Making the second one, head chopped off.
Oh,
director of film decapitated.
How so?
During a stunt gone wrong. What? Did that stop them putting it out? It did not. They just changed the name to The Junk Man.
Wow.
There's your film trivia fact of the day.
How did he get his head chopped off?
I don't know. Just badly parked, I think. Something went wrong.
Gosh.
Look that up. Gone in 60 seconds, too.
There you go.
That we've gone to film trivia too early. Let's get to archaeology. What about this from Kabul? The first of more than 1,400 Afghan artifacts, the most significant being a ceremonial glass penis believed to have been used by Alexander the Great, have been unpacked in the biggest return of such items in nearly 70 years. A glass penis?
Mm.
Imagine that.
What a ceremony.
Ceremony of the glass penis, I'm assuming. Gee, imagine having a glass penis. People would be constantly offering to squeegee it at intersections.
Leave me alone!
I don't remember that.
You're not a freak.
I didn't see the film of Alexander.
I did, and there's a wonderful bit where Farrell, Alexander the Great had an Irish accent, and yeah. I'm glad that we've cleared that up. And he's, remember he goes to the village and they said, nobody knew why he chose the common girl as his bride.
Yeah.
Next scene, sex scene, the girl who played Rosario Dawson, was topless, sort of bouncing up on Colin Farrell. Whole screen just filled with norks.
Nobody knew why he picked the common girl for his bride.
Screen full of norks, place hit the floor. Biggest laugh of any film this year.
Really?
I can see two reasons, Colin!
Biggest laugh I've heard in a cinema this year was in an Australian film called The Book of Revelation. So getting a big laugh there. There's a scene where Colin Friel, who's a cop, he's talking to Tom Long in a bar. And Tom Long says to him, gee, you're a cop. You don't look like a cop.
Cinnamon just cagged himself. It's Colin Friel in his suit. He couldn't look more like a cop if he tried. Anybody? Water Rag? Flagstaff? Grievous Bodily Harm? He's always a cop in a suit.
I don't remember. Okay, there was Irish accent in Alexander.
Yeah.
There was the weird ass sort of blonde hair.
Yeah.
But did he have transparent tackle? Do you remember that?
I don't remember that. Glass penis.
In Afghanistan, the phrase, watch out, I'll glass you, is actually a term of affection, that's what I'm told.
Imagine having a glass penis. These underpants are too tight, let me just sit down. Oh, the gradient!
Here you go, that's an extent. Get this from Triple M. I found some food news here.
Good.
You'll like this, I've combined food and driving news. Mm-hmm. Truckers barbecue, this is from Germany. A truck driver has set fire to his cab while cooking sausages while driving to make a delivery. Walter Reckling lit the gas cooker, which is only meant to be used on the roadside, because he was running late. The 46-year-old was driving past Niederwörschnitz in Saxony.
Hello to everyone there in Niederwörschnitz.
Triple M rocks, Niederwörschnitz. He was driving past that joint when the hob toppled over in the cab of his truck. Police found he was, of course, three times over the legal limit. Driving a truck with one hand, turning some snags with the other. Wouldn't that be a good look? What is this business news you say we want to do here? How does this work?
We're going to go serious today. We're going to crack the lucrative Chinese market. That's later.
Okay.
But for now, we don't do sport very much.
No.
We only do sort of movies and sort of, you know, things from the news and rants about the ABC and whatnot, which is great.
Mm.
But it's time for us to get a business report. People like news about figures and stuff. So here we go. So, no, one of you has to throw to me, like, you know, they go like, and now here's Tom Petrovsky from Comsec.
Mm-hmm.
You have to say, not yet, Rich, I'll point at
that.
So you, one of you chuck to me and say, here's Ed from, and then you can make up where I'm, what businessy thing I'm from. So,
yeah, okay. Well, so I do that now.
Yeah.
Okay, hey, what's going on in the world of business? Business report.
Yep.
That's his
I think you'll find it's amazingly accurate.
Yeah, I know all about the Nikkei.
Yeah.
Dow Jones.
What's he? footsie.
All right.
Footsie's good fun.
What's going on in your world, Richard Marsden?
I like to keep up to date with what's going on with Pete Doherty. Is it Doherty or Doherty?
Yeah, let's make it Doherty. Yeah,
okay, let's call the whole thing off. He's planning to get his penis pierced.
Oh, really?
For his girlfriend, Kate Moss. This is true. Apparently, it's been a very romantic move on the part of Pete Doherty. I just think it's so he can distract the security guards at the airport. So when he goes through the metal detector, the alarm will go off and they won't notice the 10 kilos of Primo Hammer stashed up his rectum. That's what I think Pete Doherty's up to.
He's so dazzled by the wang. By the shimmering wang.
Is it because it's the only part of his body that hasn't been pierced by a needle today?
Oh, good point.
There's a place with feeling.
There's an area that hasn't been.
Wow, we could get a little disco ball hanging at the end.
I don't think so.
Amazing party trick.
Hey, here's some news. Belgian. We haven't had any Belgian news for a while.
No. Mm.
A Belgian lager with a risque marketing strategy has been stripped from sale in Britain. Bottles of Rubel Sexy Lager. That's what it's called. Feature a picture of a woman with a removable swimsuit on the label.
Yeah.
I think you meant. How inappropriate. No, this is what you meant. You meant one of those. I can tell. I can see one forming. No, what it is you can scratch off the woman's clothes as you drink your beer.
Wow. Right.
Leaving her completely naked. Whoa! Keep the dogs on that beer! You could give the Boonie Doll a lap dance. Could you arrange that? Set that up. What does he say, the Boonie Doll?
Leave me dogs.
Leave me dogs.
What do you say? Don't say what time is it.
Depends what day it is, because on Valentine's Day he says, goose kiss.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I reckon. Something like that. And then on Christmas Eve, he breaks into Silent Night.
No, he doesn't.
He all goes a bit chucky now and again in the middle of the night, Boonie. When he's going towards your bed with a knife.
He goes a bit Trilogy of Terror. To lock him in a suitcase and he saws his way out with a nail file. I don't know. Is that a good thing, you think? I mean, beer that you can strip the label off, revealing a nude woman.
Yeah.
If Goldfingers is closed, just pop down the bottle shop. Now, what about a nude chick, right? On a beer, mm-hmm. painted on a panel van, parked in the middle of the MCG. That'd be Zoo Magazine's Woman of the Year, I reckon, right there. It's got everything.
Hey, you know what? Give it a column.
That's like nested. That's like those nested foods we're
inside,
talking about.
Inside.
We were talking about that just as a mad idea.
And turducken is the big one.
That's the one I've been hearing about. Listeners have gone nuts. They really do it.
Yep.
All right, let's find out how that works. More food news.
Good. It's going well today.
I'm getting there.
We've got news. Midnight Oil. Here at Get This on Triple M.
Sure he is.
Thank you.
New one going up on the grid tomorrow.
If that was baffling. That was your Melbourne Lord Mayor John So, wasn't it?
Yeah. I have some bizarre stuff in Melbourne today. The Green Guide has run an interview. We've never been able to get an interview with the Green Guide about this show. And finally, we've been on for over a year. They're not interested. Finally, they call up a bloke called Paul Kalina. Says, want to talk to Tony Martin. I've gone, great, finally, some publicity in Melbourne for our show. Mm. Just wanted to interview me about Big Brother.
Good.
What are your thoughts on Big Brother?
They know our level.
They know our level.
It's given us some publicity.
Yeah. I've done this interview with him where I've used the word pissiest several times.
You are a rebel, Tony Martin.
I'm describing that bloke goes to your gym that looks like Galen.
Oh, yes.
And uses the resemblance to get women to sleep with him.
That's a life, isn't it? They're the life.
Well, I'm going, Daddy's the pissiest celebrity ever, someone who's confused with Galen
and loving it.
And they've decided to either correct me or assume I have a lisp. And every time I've said pissiest, they've written piffiest.
What the hell?
Piffiest, like I'm off the wild.
Or you're a helmet fanatic.
He's a very peacock man. I don't even know what pissy means. I've never used it in my life. Zero, dear. So every time you read the word piffiest, remember I was saying pissiest.
That's probably true of always, listeners.
Yeah.
Any time in the world you read pithy, you know they're saying pithy. Little heads up.
I can see his tummy rumbling. I can feel it rumbling.
Time. It's time.
Across the desk. It's time for food news.
Check it out. Look at this. Somebody's opened a bakery only for puppy dogs. So they've got Poochie Donuts and other things, biscuits and the like.
Mm.
I had some and my coat has never been shinier.
I need to know where that shop is.
I thought you might say that.
Is it self-serve? Can the dog just... going themselves.
That would be a good idea, because if they let the dog choose what it wanted, it would just eat everything, and then the owners would be forced to pay.
There's no off switch.
There's no off switch?
No off switch on the Labrador.
Would you eat a doggy treat?
No.
Why not?
No, because I would assume that there's human food in other shops that I can access.
What if they're all closed? What if they're all closed and you're starving? Would you eat the dog treats?
I wouldn't, but I know that you would. I can tell from your face that
Hang
you
on.
Would.
Richard?
Well, sometimes those little chocolate things that you give dogs look kind of delicious. And schmackos. How can you go by
Have you ever had taken a bite of a schmacko?
Just sort of looks like, you know, lower grade beef jerky.
But have you ever tried? I've tried it. Have you tried it?
No, I haven't yet.
Listeners, if you've got a schmacko nearby, have a bite. It's the saltiest experience you're ever likely to go through.
A schmacko?
Oh, yeah. I've had a couple of bites of a schmacko. I actually can feel it in my mouth. It's pretty nasty.
What about the snossage? Do you go the snossage?
I didn't know what it was until you brought it up.
It's fun to say.
Yeah, it is fun to say.
It's a little fake hot dog.
For the dog.
But didn't it?
I don't know. Well, I haven't tried it, surprisingly.
Just have a bite.
You've got 12 salads in front of you.
I'm not letting you
considering a schmeck.
I don't go home and go, don't thank you, people who've made dinner for me. I don't want this delicious pasta. I'm too full on. How? One of the new casseroles just look too good to resist. I've just said I've tried it before in my life. You ready? Look at this time.
Yeah.
Fruit juice can make kids fat. Mm. Parents who get... What are you all saying yes for?
Yeah, that's been a report.
Yeah, that was a couple of weeks ago.
Everybody's nodding their head.
Didn't you see the wobbling ass kids on the news from the neck down?
Yeah. I thought that was donut related. Juice that's the problem?
Yeah.
It's banned fruit, or at least fry it. All right, well, I'll shut up then. I thought that was a big deal.
No, come on, what have you got?
No, now it's going to sound ridiculous.
No, we'll just pretend we didn't know.
I have no idea that that was the case at Gavilee. Well, no, they're saying that the problem is
with fruit juice is that it's fattening. That's outrageous.
The problem is the parents don't know which juices are fattening and which ones aren't.
Ah, right.
So parents are sending their... I can't be... No, this is ridiculous. All right. So parents are sending their kids to school with fluorescent blue... drinks called Mountain Blast.
Right.
There's fruit juice drink on it, and I'm wondering why the kids come home fat. See, it doesn't make it's ridiculous.
Is that true? That, see, I'm in that zone where I can't tell whether that's true
it's
or not.
It's in this article. Yes, the article's 4 weeks old. Yes, it's stained with avocado. Yes, I should have said it when it came out, but I forgot.
Yeah. Mountain Blast. That article is so old, Ribena's still okay.
And saved by Richard Barber.
What about food news, though?
We have
one food news.
I floated this idea on the show, which I thought I'd thought of. You know, you just start with a pig and then encase smaller and smaller food stuff.
Yeah.
So you get down to, like, Russian doll stock, a single pea.
Yes.
Well, Dave, one of our Adelaide listeners, has called up to say, don't stop there. You could get a syringe and put some honey in that pea. Making it a Russian cow honey pea nucleus meal bag. That's what he's calling it.
A meal bag.
But then Dean has emailed to say that this goes on for real.
Yeah.
Cow stuff with sheep, etc.
Oh, wow. Wait, no, wait. Don't just gloss over that. No. Where does this happen?
Well, it's been done with birds. A multiple bird stuffing on a Foxtel cooking show recently was demonstrated. Went to Wikipedia, found the following beauty. The largest recorded nested bird roast is 17 birds attributed to a royal feast in France in the 19th century. Listen to what was in it. We're going to need some music for this.
Okay.
Starting with a bustard. That's an unfortunate bird, isn't it? A bustard stuffed with a turkey, then a goose, then a pheasant, then a chicken, then a duck, then a guinea fowl, a teal, a woodcock, a partridge, a plover, a lapwing, a quail, a thrush, a lark, an orotark, bunting, and then a garden warbler. The final bird, the warbler, is so small that it can be then stuffed with a single olive.
17 nested birds.
You mentioned it earlier. Turducken.
Yeah.
You know about turducken? A deboned turkey stuffed with a deboned duck, which is itself stuffed with a small deboned chicken. There's a lot of that around.
I've had that.
Cajun in origin.
Yep.
Herbert's Specialty Meats in Maurice, Louisiana, sells around 3,000 turduckens a year and shares a friendly rivalry with Paul Prudhomme turducken. Rival turducken artist.
We're Prudhomme guys. On this station, we're Prudhomme guys.
Some barbecue aficionados have been known to enclose a turducken inside a whole hog.
Oh,
and then pit roast that.
Yeah! How's that? It goes on. How do you get the sheep inside the cow? Can we go back to that?
I don't know.
Does someone have to be standing inside the cow and someone standing outside the cow? Going to drag it in?
Bunch up a bit. punch up a bit. NFL Hall of Fame coach and TV broadcaster John Madden.
John Madden
used to annually enjoy a turducken when he did the Thanksgiving Day broadcast. Just sizzling it away like that truck driver in between plays. Come on, you can stuff more animals into that.
Come on. Look at that field mouse.
Have you stuffed an animal inside another animal?
Is that the phone topic?
Stuffed another animal inside that? No, it's not the phone topic.
Oh.
The phone topic today is going to be, have you got a job you're not qualified for? Why are you looking away?
Well, there's not going to be any ramifications for that, is there?
No.
It's not like going to be dobbed in at any point.
That's going to be coming up next.
It is a culture. It is a way of life. Totally different to us.
I gotta have more carbon. I got a fever.
It's Gear This around the nation on Triple M. Don't forget, it is Caporal.
Ooh.
Cape on, go to work.
We've got millions of photos.
Yeah.
Like, no time to talk about that.
No, there's a whole lot of them up on the website. More going on every day, and you could win a 24-inch iMac, not an iPod.
Brilliant.
It's an iMac. That's coming your way if you have the best. What are you doing there, Caporal?
Making a noise.
Is that going to help with the music, do you think?
It'll make sense in the context.
Oh, so we should go straight for the song?
Here we go.
Hear this on Triple M. Myself, Tony Martin here, Cavalier's here, Richard Marsden's here. About now every day we do Talkback Mountain.
Yeah.
You know, we claim it's a kind of alpine setting. It's not, we're just sitting in the studio.
Yeah, I mean, we've all got lederhosen on.
Yeah, do we want to do it from the roof of the station today? We want to do that.
That's a good idea. A rooftop sort of,
yes please,
outside broadcast.
Just because you open the roof of the station.
Oh, okay. So
it's going to take a while.
Theatre of the mind.
It's your place from here. Look at that. Oh, hang on.
My flatmate's complaining about something.
Yeah, you're not on the cleaning board.
Yes.
Lost points, have you?
Yeah, no, I got in trouble. Yeah. Anyway.
What about doing a job that you're simply not qualified for? That's what we're talking about today. Who do we know who's...
For me.
Yeah, there's you, obviously.
There's my friend who shall remain nameless, who was sitting at his job one day. He works in the film industry, quietly playing World of Warcraft, as he has wont to do. And someone said, oh, we need a new such and such, you know, type of editor. And they said, oh, here's some work, you can do that. And he went, yep, no worries. Then looked at it, realised he had no idea what they were talking about.
Wow.
Wikipedia'd the job.
Yeah.
So let's just say it's executive producer. What does that mean? Tick, tick, tick. And the person walked back in the door and said, any ideas? Yep, reading straight off the screen. I reckon that we could probably increase revenue and reach a wider audience. You're hired.
Bam!
Promote that man.
It's as easy as that.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
And there's also the story of the lady that, you know, perhaps is working in the media industry.
Yeah.
On radio even.
Oh, okay.
Who, well, has done the hard yards.
Yeah.
I mean, she went to a party and another party and got a job.
Yeah.
So she's put in, you know what I mean? So we're not talking about her.
That's a real guess there, don't see that one. I'm thinking about five people, that could be. All right, well, okay, I mean, we can't point the finger. I don't think I've ever been technically qualified for any job that I've ever had. I remember once I tried to get into a play in New Zealand.
A professional theatre production?
No, it was an amateur theatre production. Semi-professional.
What, they hadn't seen you as the amusing policeman?
Constable.
Sorry.
Sorry, I don't think we can say constable in this time slot.
Now, what happened?
I had to play the harmonica. They didn't tell me that till after the audition. oh, you're going to need to learn to play the harmonica. I'm going, is there much harmonica? And they're going, oh, there's about 30 seconds at the start of the second half.
It's not the harmonica. It's Chronicles, man. It's all harmonica.
The harmonica kids.
It's nothing but the harmonica.
It was the play.
No, right.
It was Wednesday to Come, which I think has been performed in Melbourne at the MTC. But I thought, oh, well, it's just blowing into a small box. How hard can that be? And somehow, as the day got closer and closer, I somehow just taught myself to play the harmonica.
Really?
I could actually play about, you know, five tunes.
Pop Goes the Weasel?
Yeah, that would have been one of them. The Benny Hill theme, I think, got a crack.
Bohemian Rhapsody?
Possibly.
You're brilliant.
Oh, Superman by Laurie Anderson. All the classics. But then, so I knew enough, just enough, to be able to scam myself way through the 30 seconds of the start of the second half. And then I remember, I think it was like about four performances from the end, and they've gone, oh, the bloke's out in the car park. He's a bit pissed. He's had a few during the interval. You're going to have to fill. So I had to fill 4 minutes. Started out, you know, like Bob Dylan. By the end of it, Potluck Reject. Just Jazz Odyssey.
I'll
say, following any note whatsoever. Yeah, yes! And I think it was a funeral, too. That didn't help.
Wow.
Sprung badly.
Jazzed up a funeral, did you?
I think so. Richard? I think I went into Gimme That D.
What are those things? In South Australia, they call them Euroses, but they're souvlakis in other states.
Euros, you mean?
Euros,
what
yeah.
What's going on down there?
They're called souvlakis. You know those things.
Kebabs, sure.
Kebabs, falafels, yeah. There's a whole bunch of different names.
Meat wrapped in bread with lettuce.
That's the thing. And it's like a Middle Eastern sort of dish, and there was a travelling one of those.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Sort of a Middle Eastern dish. Rich isn't going to give it to him just yet. He's still got some tests he has to run.
But there was a travelling caravan in the area where I grew up that used to go around to all the country royal shows.
Yeah.
And they used to, you know, give people Euroses, you know, like, and cook them for, and travel around the country. Around the mid-north of South Australia.
Charity, or were they selling them?
And I was so, yeah, they were selling them for a handy profit. It was a business kind of thing. And I applied for this job. I was so desperate for money, and I'm in there, and he's running me through how to make a Euros. And I'm going, yep, no, that's fine. So you cut the meat that way, and lettuce, okay, tabbouleh, and garlic sauce. And all the while, I'm thinking, I am in so much trouble. Because I had to hit, like, six country towns in a week, because it was a travelling royal show. And by the time I hit the first show, it was like the I Love Lucy episode with just, like, you know, orders stacked up. I had to keep these Euroses going. And anyway, I had to get a stick with a handkerchief on it and tie it and just walk away, at, like, halfway through the first town. I just couldn't handle the job.
With a stick with a hanky on? Switch.
I had to hit the bricks.
Fantastic. You didn't last. Triple M, Mr. Euro, Richard Marsland.
You didn't last in a Euro job.
No, well, I couldn't work it out. I mean, there's a fine art to it.
Now I remember, actually. This thing called Sega World opened up in Sydney.
Yes.
And I was part of the first intake. It was going to change the world. It was like a time zone, but it had rides and themes and stuff like that. And my job was the guy who was like the weight guesser in the jerk. I was the wacky guy down the end who had to like go, hey, kids, come and play. You'll probably win a prize. You're not going to win a prize. But hello, woo, woo. And I showed up the first day and I had a safari outfit on with a pith helmet. And I walked up and they changed the arena to be a space arena. So everyone was the astronaut suits on. And I was... Looked like I was looking for artifacts, you know, Alexander's glass penis work. Nobody wanted to come.
Did you mean to say pith helmet there?
Oh. Piss helmet. I had a helmet made of piss. There you go, I said it.
Comes out in the green guy.
There you go, I said it.
There it is. The crap night out is coming soon.
Oh,
I'd like to think that Richard Marsden will be serving Euroses at the door. Call us up, listeners. Are you doing a job you're simply not qualified for?
I'm underqualified to be a carny.
Did you scam your way into a gig? Past, present, or even future, if you're thinking about it, we'll accept anything. It's get this 133.3. Get shown on here and get this on Triple M. Who's doing a job they're not qualified to do, Ed Cavalier?
Hello, Michael.
How you doing, mate?
I'm excellent. What's going on?
Well, see, I'm one of those comic book nerds who's never actually read a comic.
Really?
I've read everything from video game biographies, internet, and cartoons.
Right, an imposter. What job did you get?
I was actually a guest speaker, people interviewing me at a comic book convention in 2004.
And how did you feel there? Quite detailed questions.
I got pretty embarrassed.
You what?
I got pretty embarrassed because the only thing I really know is about Spider-Man cartoons and Wolverine's death.
Right, so you got run out of town by people in orc ears and...
Oh, mate, this guy in a Jedi costume started taking swings at me.
Yeah, well, that's there you go.
No, I don't think that's acceptable. I mean, what was the, you know, run us by some of the nonsense you were saying to pass off as this expert.
Oh, I just had a mate who was running the thing.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him and he thought, hey, you sound pretty knowledgeable about all of this stuff.
Yeah. Well, Mac just knows the lyrics to the TV show, Spider-Man.
Pretty much,
I don't know. Apparently he does whatever a spider can.
That's what I'm hearing. Well, good luck with your new portfolio, Minister of Something, sir. Hello, Jules. How are you?
Not too bad. Good show, guys. I love it. You listen every day, mate.
Thanks, man. What are you? What are you? What job are you doing?
Plumber.
And are you qualified?
I am now, but I wasn't for the first 5 years of doing the job.
And how did you get into that? You just woke up one morning and thought, yeah, I'll have a crack.
Yeah, my dad was owned the company, so he decided to throw me on and give me a go.
Oh, it's a familiar story.
It's lovely. He gave you a go. That's so nice.
And
school wasn't for me, so.
Fair enough. How long before you struck a real disaster on the gig?
Oh, actually, never, because I used to just ring him up and I'd be standing there scratching my head and just, oh, what's this, what's this? And he'd be just pointed through to us.
That's a tap, son. Turn that one off.
Should I be knee-deep in poo at this point?
Good on you, Jules. But
no worries.
Take it easy, mate.
Hey, he's a phony plumber. Can we go faker?
James, how are you?
We're good, thanks. Love the show, guys.
Thanks, man. What have you? What job are you doing?
When I was overseas in the UK, mate of mine said, why don't you be a chartered accountant? I'll get you a job at this firm. I said, well, I don't know the first thing about accountancy. He said, put it on your CV. They love it.
And were you put to the test, sir?
I was put to the test. We've gone, can you do profit loss and trial balance and all this sort of stuff? And I had no idea what they were talking about. I said, yeah, no problem. And I had to do all these reports. And because I was only temping, I just put all these fake names like the Big Bad Horn and they've got all these plumb-in-the-mouth toms ring up. Can I speak to Big Bad Horrible Horn, please?
Oh, that's the way.
That's well done, James.
If you're faking your way through an accounting gig, I think the answer is just MyOps software. Just mention MyOps software. Sorry, the software, the 2.0 hasn't arrived.
Yeah, I would do it if the software would let me, hey?
I've got to go to that seminar.
Anyway, let's play some racquetball.
Okay, who's next?
Mark, how are you?
G'day.
What's going on? What job are you doing?
It was summer break at university, so I was at home back in Mildura, and there was a job opening for wine grape grafting.
Mm.
And so I grabbed my biology book and I looked up grafting, there were some roses. And so I said, in the phone interview, I said, oh, yeah, I've done blah, blah, blah. And the guy said, oh, you're hired. So I turned up there and he'd given me this huge knife and these bits of wood. And he goes, all right, go for it. And I just sliced my hands up and was bleeding everywhere. And he was looking at me and he said, do you really know what you're doing?
Did you get the job?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Australia's premier craftsman.
And which particular vintage can we look out for at Liquorland?
I think we were doing lots of Cab Sav and what was the other one? Merlot and stuff.
Bit of Penfold's own negative by the sounds of things.
Just look for the label with the bloody fingerprint.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone who called. Thank you, Mark. Everyone that called.
What a selection of phonies. There's so many
more. I was expecting the jobs to be quite sort of small?
Yeah.
Wine grafter?
Plumbing.
Chartered accountant? Plumber? These are things we might need.
This we didn't get to that bloke. Yeah. Minister of Foreign Affairs for Australia. We'll get to him soon. Okay, we will call those people back.
Thank you, everyone.
I have time to meet, and we'll be back in the next hour with comedian Charlie Pickering.
Who said Kevin Rudd was a nerd? Sorry, not supposed to mention him.
It's the second hour of GMS. Triple M, and look, Charlie Pickering is joined us.
Comedian Charlie, because you're telling us off air
that you've seen Richard Marsden getting around a fancy dress.
Yeah, the last time I saw Richard, he was dressed as a giant.
It was a frog.
It was a frog, a half-human, half-frog scenario. It was about 2 in the morning in a comedy gig in Adelaide.
Really?
And And it was quite magical. And to be honest, I can't remember the premise. No, I think that's the nature of jokes like that.
What do you mean, knowing to do it? How can someone wear a half-human, half-frog costume and not remember why?
No, it was something to do with, it was like a bitch cousin of Kermit or something like that.
it was a jaded cousin that got a lot less showbiz play than Kermit did.
Something like that, but I was batting way above my level. It was with Justin Hamilton and Limo
was on as well, yeah.
And, it was good fun, but it was terrible. A man dying on stage.
I just remember you backstage, you were looking at the script going, I don't know how it's going to go. Like, no, man, just sell it. Just get out there and sell it. And you did.
Yeah.
Turns out no one was buying on that particular night.
Great times in comedy.
And what about you said he was in a pram?
There was another time, baby pushing a pram. Oh, that was someone else.
That was someone else, yeah.
These late night shows in Adelaide, anything can happen and often does.
I only do amphibians, Charlie.
Right. Well, Richard Parsell does amphibians in this hour of Get This. Get This around the nation on Triple M. John Mellencamp, of course, there. It's the second hour. And some more of that phony applause for Charlie Beck. We've had seven bigger names through at Interest Comedy Festival all this month, bringing the stars of the Melbourne Comedy Festival to the rest of the country.
Any big disappointments so far? Any guests you had on that really dropped the ball?
No, we've been quite sort of particular about who we've had in. It's been all good so far.
Yeah.
Have there been any disappointments? Who would you recommend in that regard?
For a disappointment? You can't do that.
No.
Me in a frog costume, that'll
do. Yeah, that'll do.
Mark Watson, we've had Geraldine Hickey, we've had Ross Noble. It's been a treat.
It's a cavalcade of stars.
Your show, firstly, radio. You used to be on the radio, didn't you?
Yes, I quite enjoyed the radio. I missed the free CDs, I'll tell you that much.
We don't get any. We slagged the music off so much. I think I've had two CDs in a year.
Well, I was working at Triple J, amateur radio Triple J.
Yeah.
And the thing is that most of the bands they play are the bands that I like.
Mm.
And so it was basically a chance for me to exponentially grow my record collection without paying for it. And now it's just a point of contention with my wife because we just moved into another house. So I'm going, all right, we're going to need a house with a room for my CDs. I've got about 6,500 of them. And she's going, you didn't pay for them. We're going to get rid of some. I'm going, no, it doesn't work like that. This is music. This is a gift from the Lord. And we're not going to just throw that out.
Surely you can cull a few, like Wigfield could go.
But the problem is, yeah, Wigfield can always go.
Sukiyaki, you can probably ditch that one.
I've got a thing that I often like to go back to the most embarrassing music I have and then use it in some way. I have a series called Charlie Keeps It Real, where I spoke about the middle school of hip-hop. Because there's a lot of talk about the old school and the new school. And the middle school with artists like R. Kelly, before he was a pedophile, and you know, when he was just an awful R&B artist. And I've also got a solo album by LV, who was the hefty gent who did the singing on Gangster's Paradise by Coolio.
Wow.
Well, he brought out a solo album called I Am LV, and yes, he was. And he did a totally a cappella version of Gangster's Paradise without the rap, just him putting his own lyrics in.
Wow.
And it's possibly the worst piece of music I've ever heard in my life.
Whatever happened to the Fat Boys? Are they still around?
The Fat Boys, who recorded a rap opera.
Yeah.
I've got one of the Fat Boys albums, a rap opera, and it's kind of loosely based on Shakespeare. And when I say loosely, I mean they say Shakespeare in it. And other than that, I think it's just about trying to avoid hefty women for a night out on the town. But it's an opera.
Now, were they the first rap artists to do a comedy movie, like, you know, Ice Cube's busting out the Friday films now, but to remember Disorderly?
Mm. That's right.
Fat Boys in Disorderly.
Where does that come in chronology to Cold as Ice, the Vanilla Ice?
No, that's early before 90s, it, I think, yeah. And would you class that as, well, I guess it's a comedy. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Soundtrack album's pretty funny.
And then Fear of a Black Hat, CB4, etc. But I think Disorderly was the first,
groundbreaking.
And as we've just shown, established an entire genre.
Oh yeah,
of hip-hop turned comedy films.
Absolutely.
CB4.
Pootie Tang is.
What's the Snoop one with the airline?
Soul Plane.
That's just racist. That film. I know that it's Snoop, and I know it's an entirely African American cast. But I watched it, and I was offended on behalf of Al Sharpton watching that movie. Just going, no, you would not have hydraulic suspension on a plane. That is just racist. No, you would not be serving Watty Melon in first class. That would not be happening. Thank you very much.
No, a DC-10 would not have a Jerry Curl. It's not on. Hey, so I notice whenever I go to someone who works in radio's house and have a look at their CDs, always the stickers, please return to the record company, property of MCA, something like that.
Well, I think that's what's holding me back, like selling off half my record collection, because I'm going to have to sit there for a day just peeling little do not resell stickers off the back.
It's the really tough glue, for starters.
They're worse than the JB Hi-Fi price tags that ruin your CDs. Yeah. They're awful.
And are the record companies ever going to come good on the promise on those stickers and demand them all back?
One day.
Where's all those Richard Marx CDs we sent out in 94? We need a recall. We've hardly mentioned Charlie's show. It's called Impractical Jokes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that next on Get This. Get This on Triple M. Charlie Pickering is with us. His new show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, possibly coming to your town, concerns his dad. Is that right, Charlie?
Yes, my dad and his best mate.
Let's go up to grandparents. Do you have grandparents?
I've got one surviving grandparent. My grandmother on my mother's side is still alive.
Does she, she gets stuck into the neighbours, that kind of stuff? Does she?
No, she's one of the nicest people in the world, but I think because I had quite an overbearing grandfather, she hasn't really let herself rip yet. But she will. She's saving it up, I think. When she hits 90, she's just going to take on the neighbourhood.
90. I reckon this is what she might like to build towards. This is a story on the Channel 10 news last night.
The British pensioner has been jailed for 6 months for making her neighbours' lives terrible. 81-year-old Dorothy Evans was convicted of antisocial behaviour and harassment. For 10 years, the elderly Welsh woman accused one of the neighbours of being a prostitute and repeatedly tried to run her off the road.
There you go. Bang, straight in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, no, my grandmother does that all the time. Yeah, sorry.
Prostitution. And then there was a shot of this, like, the frailest, littlest 81-year-old woman being cuffed and put into a paddy wagon and just being driven off while the camera's flashing in through the centre glass. Thank God she's off the streets. But,
you whore.
Would have been olden days, Lane.
Scarlet Woman.
Yes, harlot. floozy. Trollop. Would have been a lot of trollops.
Yes, you low-rent courtesan.
That's a good
one. Out of the neighbourhood. trying to run a cake stall here.
Your dad.
Yes.
What's he done?
Well, the story is about a 10-year practical joke war between my dad and his best mate,
wow,
Richard.
10 years?
Yeah, and it almost ended in death, and that didn't stop it. Like, it kept going after that.
Really?
Well, it all started very simply. My dad's mate pushed him into a pool, and then dad got revenge with a water pistol in a restaurant, like Godfather style.
Oh,
it was
really right, quite cool. Yeah, great.
It was actually taped under the table.
Of course it was.
And dad pulled it out and drenched him, and then Richard got some fancy water pistols and during a dinner party at my parents' house hit the fuse box and came in with stockings over their heads and had a fake hold-up and ran around the table squirting everyone with water pistols. Actually, genuinely frightening scenario.
That's escalated.
And that was the point where maturity went out the window and it just got worse and worse after that. And what happened is I started helping my dad with all of his pranks.
Oh, right.
And when it got really hairy was I'm just going to cut straight to this, and it's going to sound quite ridiculous. There were a lot of steps in the middle.
Yeah, this is over a 10-year period. Yeah.
So my father and I are digging in Richard's driveway, cementing a parking meter into his driveway under cover of night. It's about midnight. And we've got a rotary fence post digging tool, like this cylindrical tool with big handles, and we're churning through the driveway. And we basically wanted to have it so that he had to pay to park in his own street.
That's
put away a parking ticket on his car. Thought it'd look really good. And we're digging and having a good time, and then we hit something. And the thing is, when you're digging, if you hit something, you will think it's buried treasure. Straight down, and I was looking to see what it was, and dirt was flying up into my face, and it smelled a bit of gas.
Oh, gas.
And we'd hit a gas main.
Yeah.
And we had to call the gas and fuel. They shut down an entire suburb. They shut down Brighton, basically all of the gas in Brighton.
Wow.
In this entire city block, cordoned the whole thing off. It was off for 2 weeks. And they said we literally could have blown up the entire street.
But it didn't stop there?
No, we went back 2 months later and we dug slightly to the left of where we had before. And cemented the parking meter in then. And it just carried on unabated since then.
Well, so to this day?
Well, it's kind of stopped now because Richard's wife, Cheryl, made them move into a maximum security apartment block and we cannot get at him. We have tried everything.
There's got to be something.
Well, we're trying to find someone that can cut the key. Like, we need an electronic security pass and then we can get up to some stuff.
You need a fake tradesman kind of, like a Kyle McLaughlin in Blue Velvet. Like, just spraying for bugs.
I think what we need to do is definitely get... We need to do something to their car parking space underneath the apartment block. I think one day when they're out, if we set up some kind of elaborate... I think a diorama of some kind that we constructed in their car parking space. I think that would be time well spent.
Okay, now, there's a show about it. I mean, have these two gentlemen come along? And
yeah, well, they came along not last Sunday, and Sunday before, and they got a standing ovation at the end of the show.
Did.
I said, ladies and gentlemen, Richard and Ron are in the house tonight. Is Richard Ron, and the audience literally on their feet.
Wow.
People high-fiving my dad and stuff. It's weird. I never thought this would happen in my lifetime, but I'm on the street in Melbourne, just walking around the front of the town hall, and I literally have these young, like, stoner-looking dudes coming up, and I'm expecting to be kind of Comedy Channel fans or whatever, going, oh, yeah. Oh, right, and they just come up going, your dad's a legend!
Dad's a legend!
That's awesome. Well, now I know how Matthew Newton feels.
Yeah. I'm just picturing two blokes standing up in a theatre, one completely covered in purple paint, the blackened face. And I mean, it's obviously a friendly rivalry.
Yeah, oh, it's an absolutely friendly rivalry, and they love it. Like, they love nothing more than continuing to rib each other. I'm trying to think if there's ever been a time that it's gone too far. I don't think it has gone too far. We probably, on occasion... Oh, well, I think Richard cost Dad some business at his pharmacy one day when he sent a fatogram stripper to strip in the pharmacy on his birthday. So this was retribution because Richard was president of the local Rotary Club. And so on his birthday, when they had a dinner, a special president's birthday dinner,
yes.
My dad sent a Marilyn Monroe impersonator to sing happy birthday, Mr. President, to him.
Wow.
But she was a bit saucy, and a lot of the gents at the Rotary Club didn't really go for that too much.
Steady on, mate.
And so then, yeah, the fatogram stripped inside the shop on a particularly busy Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, in the chemist.
And cleared it. And we've got it on video, and you can just see all these people, clearly ill people that need medicine, going, I'll chance it for a day. I'm getting out of here.
I'm feeling ill. Well, I think that's how the Austro-Hungary war began, isn't it? Just practical jokes that got out of hand. We love a practical joke that goes horribly, horribly wrong, as long as there's no fatalities. Let's talk about that next on Get This.
These two are only interested in a free beer and a smoke.
Vegetable. Shorts.
Get This, that's the name of the show. Charlie Pickering, comedian Charlie Pickering, is with us. His latest, stage experience.
Comedian Charlie Pickering.
Yeah,
as opposed to First Fleet ship's captain Charlie Pickering, which is actually true. There was a Charlie Pickering.
Really?
Anyway. Yeah.
Have you done that? Have you put your name into Google and found...
No, well, there's also a very racist American judge who, like, I've had angry emails sent to me before, or, like, whenever I Google, there's always... Like, there'll be a review of my show,
yeah.
And then the next recent one is, like, Judge Pickering hates blacks more now. You know, like, and he got in a massive storm of controversy, but the Christian right love him because he's really pro-life. Mm. But he says some really bad things. And so, yeah, I'm tired of being associated with him. Also, Charlie Pickering was a character in a Stephen King novel.
He was
an evil character. He's one of the most evil characters Stephen King
ever. Was it one of the ones he doesn't remember writing?
I hope so.
A few of those. Like Cujo, he doesn't even carry.
He had some sort of drug period where he claims he wrote about 5 novels and he can't remember writing them. And the really sad thing is, they're like the best ones.
Yeah. But isn't that great? Like, of all the downward spirals to have, you know, imagine him in a therapy group going, you know, I started off just a bit of booze and then a couple of pills. And before you know it, I'd written 5 best-selling novels. It was just out of control.
In 1 month. Impractical Jokes, that's the name of your show. We're talking about practical jokes gone horribly wrong. I'm trying to think. I've mentioned many times filling Michael Beach's car with bananas.
Yeah.
Thinking he'd go out and have a look at it in about 40 minutes, left it in the sun all day. Car had to be blown up at the tip.
Yeah.
It was just full of black banana juice. That was it.
Well, my dad at pharmacy college, whenever they dissected anything, he would collect what was left over and hide them in various hard-to-reach parts of people's cars.
Yes.
And he always put one obvious one, like a dissected frog, under the number plate.
Yes.
But then he'd hide more in the sills of the doors so people couldn't find them.
Wow.
And, yeah, people had ended up selling their cars often at university. Bit malicious in hindsight.
Pharmacy college, fast times. At pharmacy college, surely Ed Cavalier at the video shop, practical jokes.
Oh, just the usual, taking really bad old films that had never
rented ever, like The Wizard of Speed and Time, out of the weekly section and putting a $7, you know, putting an overnight sticker on it and then talking it up to all the customers until someone took it. Yeah. That was the standard one.
You would never, like, get a copy of, you know, Jean de Florette, take the cassette out, replace it with Caddyshack 2.
No. We did. Like we sometimes, customers would put the adult films in the, you know, like in the family section.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that happened a lot.
I would, with the adult films, if I worked in a video shop, what I would do is I'd take some home one night and enjoy them. But after that, I'd hook up a video camera and just record a bit of a condescending message at the start of the video, like on that, just going, lonely, are we? Maybe work on your conversation skills. Anyway, enjoy the film.
Just cut it in and then maybe return from time to time throughout the feature.
Yeah, and come back on, how good was that one? That was awesome. That was mad. Like a duck to water.
40 minutes in, surely you're finished by now. Just rewind. Get on with your life. Mr. Mars and Practical Jokes gone horribly wrong.
My best friend and I used to work with this woman, and there's a photo of her, you know, just smiling. But because we sort of had run-ins with this woman, we would post the photo back and forth to each other. And it's just like a running inside joke as to the most creative way you can make this photo just appear in this person's life. So, you know, you do everything. Like, you walk forward at the movies and you give the girl who's about to give us the tickets the picture and you say, give that to my mate. This will be hilarious.
That's great.
Or you wrap it in, like, a present of a relative of his.
Yeah.
And then somehow, what's this photo all about?
That's
and
good.
Then it finds its way back. So this photo's been going the rounds for about 13 years.
Who's got it?
He has at the moment, so I'm just looking in the post, waiting for it. It's going to jump out like Kato.
You've got to get it up on the big screen at the MCG or something like that.
Yeah, that's what we've got to do. We've got to be more and more elaborate, but they're getting ridiculous. Yeah,
the cool woman on the photo, which Adelaide breakfast show did she host?
No. There wasn't anyone from the radio. Yeah.
Listeners, we need to hear about practical jokes, preferably ones that went horribly, horribly wrong. Call us now, 133353. The 1880s guys here at Triple M. We love the half chords. No, get this. Charlie Pickering is with us. His new show is called Impractical Jokes. It's on at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. It could be getting around. It'll be getting around the country, won't it, Charlie?
Yeah, I hope so. That's. I've just decided that I'm staying here for the rest of the year. I pulled out of Edinburgh as of a couple of days ago. So yeah, I'll be hocking myself all around the nation.
You might get yourself up to Brisbane at some point.
I will be. I'll be up in Brisbane in May, and then again later in the year.
So that's the way. You know, practical jokes gone horribly wrong. Have we got any yet?
Yeah, we do. Hey, Brendan, how are you?
Hi guys, how you going?
We're excellent, man. Talk us through it.
Well, me and a mate had a really good idea at another mate's wedding, and that was to go up to the honeymoon suite.
Yes.
Fill it with shredded paper.
Right. Okay, yeah, that's a big job. How much did you use? You just wrote through a tunnel. Well, maybe we did. say that again, sir. What did you do? How much paper?
Well, when you opened the door, the shredded paper came out to you, and it took them about 5.5 hours to remove the shredded paper. It was a lot easier to put in.
Oh, fantastic. So romantic. So how did that end up?
Well, the free room that they got was part of the wedding package ended up costing them double, and they didn't get to do anything that night because it took 5 hours to clean them, and she still hasn't spoken to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can't understand that because, you know, if someone had done that on my wedding night, I would have thought that was hilarious. I would have been so happy with my special day. If someone had done that, a little twist in the tail, you know, you've seen all your friends, you had the best day in your life, and then to have it ruined, hilarious.
How long ago was this?
About 8 years.
Still not talking. It's turned into a Lance Shane Whitnell style feud.
Have you apologised?
Oh, yeah, we apologised profusely, but we just thought, because it only took us like 20 minutes to put in there, we thought I'd...
You know what it was, Brendan? I think the wife in question didn't like you guys from the start, and she's been looking for an excuse. and this is what she's latched onto.
As they were pulling ripped up newspaper out of the room, she's going, "I told you.
I told you
about these guys. What did I say about these guys?
You are never seeing them again." Thanks, Brendan. Hi, Ali. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks. How are you?
Excellent, man. What'd you do?
Well, actually, it was my friend's father.
Oh, yeah?
He used to work for a funeral home, and he actually dared his son to go in the middle of the night and touch the certain grave.
Yeah.
Anyway, the son went. Before he got there, the father has dug a grave, hid himself in it. And when the son was about to touch the grave,
away.
Hold on to his hand, and son got such a shock, went fainted. Just fainted.
Oh, so he hit the old the carry, sort of hand out of the grave.
Exactly.
Fantastic. So how long was the guy, you know, having to lurk there, though?
Sorry?
How long, you know, did it take to set up?
Well, I don't know. He just actually, all I knew was the son went there, he just fainted and ended up in the hospital.
Oh, that's horribly wrong.
Such a shock. And the best part is when the son woke up, punched his father in the nose.
Yeah.
And then the father spent some time in that same hospital.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a happy ending there.
Isn't that lovely?
But hiding in a grave for hours, is that worth doing? I mean, grave pranks. We could do
well,
it.
Not on its own.
No,
just as a pastime. I don't think that's... But for a reason, yes?
Yeah.
To meet the woman of your dreams.
I know.
Station promotion. We get a park,
yeah,
and we dig a whole bunch of graves. Yeah. And if you walk over, like, near the one that Rich is hiding in, and he grabs you, you win a Ford Festiva.
We go one better, right? We get 10 graves, right? 9 of them have cadavers,
yes,
right? 1 has a living person,
yeah,
and you've got to pick which one is and dig down and save the person that's alive,
right,
before you have 10 cadavers.
What we'll do is we'll make it someone from, like, Australia's Next Top Model or, like Amber Petty or something, and then you get to go on a date with them. It'll be amazing.
All right, so many practical joke opportunities at the cemetery, but let's move on.
Hello there, Dave. How are you?
Good, mate. How are you?
Excellent. What did you do?
Mate, I had a couple of years ago, we had this neighbour, and it was a broken family, and the young bloke was about 14, and I was helping him through some problems, whatever.
Mm.
Anyway, one night, the house behind their place burnt down.
Yep.
All out the back, hosing it and whatever, did nothing. But after that, there was people standing in the street everywhere, and the lady that owned this house, our neighbour, she was out the back giving all the neighbours coffees and that.
Yeah.
So I said to one of the blokes out in the street, another neighbour, I said, come on, we'll grab a lounge. She had this new lounge. We'll grab a lounge, we'll whip it in my place. And she'll think someone pinched it.
Right.
And this bloke's got, I should have woken up. He said, no way, you kidding? I'm not doing that to her. I said, why? Cause, and it turned out this guy was related to her.
Right.
And so he wouldn't be part of it. So I looked around the front lounge room, there's real fancy on this table. So I took it and I woke her behind my front door.
Yeah.
Anyway, the next morning she comes in about 7 o'clock. We got to bed about 4 or 5 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
She comes in, she's bawling her eyes. She goes, David, some bastard's come in and stole my lamp. It was my favourite lamp that I bought in my first ever pay packet and whatever. And I sort of half grinned and I said, oh, that one, behind the door. And she looked at me and she chinned me.
She chinned you?
She's fair in the skin.
Wow. That's gone horribly right, really.
I think the problem is you didn't get to do a big reveal, here's the punchline.
Yeah.
She actually came looking for it, and it looked like you'd just stolen it.
Yeah.
And was quite happy about it.
It's just over behind the door. Yeah. Can't even be bothered to do a spectacular reveal.
She did catch me. Well, it was 7. I'd only been in bed for an hour, so I wasn't real ready for it.
Yeah, because if you hadn't, you would have clocked her, wouldn't you, Dad? Hey, you would have sorted her out.
I had some news, but I thought I'd help her. She never spoke to us again.
Really?
Oh, well.
And a few times, when she'd drive down the street, I'd sort of go at the front of her driveway. She'd pull into the driveway and hit the roller door, and I'd go, as I'm going down, and all of a sudden my head's down near my knees trying to apologise through the door, but she wouldn't cop it.
Oh,
maybe she's listening.
That sounds pretty typical. Yeah, it's pretty much a day in the life of our family, Ed, really.
Yeah,
we've had feuds that have started over a lamp and gone for 8 or 9 years.
Look, the courts is the best place to settle any family dispute. That's what I say. I've always said that.
Take them to court, Judge Wapner used to say. Let's go next.
Hey, Tony, how are you?
Oh, not bad. How are you?
I'm pretty good, mate. What did you do?
Well, what it was I was working for a transport company, DHL, who were remain nameless. But what's happened was we were just having our Christmas break-up thing, and one of the blokes there with the company van thought, okay, we'll have a joke, and we just threw the bag of empty prawn shells in the back of his vehicle. In the meantime, thought, oh, yeah, no, he didn't try and hide it. He went home. What we didn't realise was he was going on holidays, and as soon as he got home, he jumped out of the vehicle, locked it up, and came back 3 weeks later.
Oh, and by which time you've got a sort of prawn Chernobyl on your hands, I'm guessing.
Yeah, basically, he reached it, he took a few backwards to sort of open the vehicle.
And was the car, you know, could you drive it ever again, or just like the banana thing burnt?
I'm of the opinion that they never got the smell out, and they were actually really trying to find out who did it.
Ah.
The company was not impressed.
Oh, well, let's get this. They'll never find out.
They're not listening. It's cool.
All right, that's great. Can we go?
Yeah, we've got to get to Sean. Yeah.
Hey, Sean, how are you?
Great.
Too. Sean had stolen a goat and everything.
This is a practical joke on us.
That was his joke. He said, I'm going to tell him that I stole a goat, and then, pow, ruin their show.
I'm gonna chin you, Sean, if I ever find you. Make no mistake.
I think we've got a traditional favourite from PJ of Castle Hill. Are you there, PJ?
Yeah, mate, how you going?
What did you do, sir?
Mate, we did the good old grad wrap over the toilet seat thing.
Never fails.
Now we knew our mate was a bit crook, and we knew you know he'd wanted to go, and so we helped it along a bit. We encouraged him to eat prunes and chuck some Duralax in his coffee, and we were just waiting. But little did we realise that his mum was Gian from work, so she's run in through the front door, straight into the toilet, and screamed out, "What the hell is going on?" She's done a number two over the glad wrap. And now while we were caught up in all of this shamozzle and pointing fingers at each other, his prunes and his coffee had turned on him, and he's had to run out in the backyard and do his because his mum was in the bathroom.
Of all the things you don't need, it's to be present when your mate's mum has a number two situation.
Oh, mate. Well, she didn't speak to us for about a month, but she eventually saw the humour in it and knew that we were trying to do it to him.
She eventually saw the humour in it. When she saw the video on YouTube, she had to agree it was very funny.
Can I ask, PJ, how exactly do you encourage someone to eat prunes?
Just to help him, because he was concerned that he hadn't gone for about a day or so. So I said, mate, I've done this in the past. Okay. The prunes are good. They help you, they help you your digestion. So
you saw an opportunity.
I do like the idea of encouraging someone to eat prunes, like peer pressure. Hey, you know what's really cool? Prunes.
Yeah,
smoke a prune, man. All the kids are doing it.
You can look like a fool if you don't.
What a fabulous selection of pranks gone horribly wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've heard much from the Prime Minister on today's show.
I can feel people switching
over.
Yeah.
No, we're going to have some John Howard action. In fact, he's going to give us a few tips on how to do comedy. Do you want to? Have you got your notepad, Joe?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready to roll. There's a 5-minute section of my show that needs to be filled, and I think our fearless leader is the man to fill it.
That'll be next. Let's get this on Triple M. Sugar Ray, every morning Charlie Pickering is here. Hey, you know, we occasionally get comedy gurus in here, Charlie.
Yeah.
To give us, tips from, we like to sit at the feet of the masters and write a few pointers down. We did that, a couple of months ago. Here's what happened.
Should have been at the end of the show 7 minutes ago. Yeah, I need to just cut to the chase. Think of our guest, Charlie Pickering. He sat in for the whole hour. Thanks very much, Charlie.
It's my pleasure being here, guys. Thank you very much.
And Practical Jokes is the name of his fine comedy festival show on in Melbourne, coming to Brisbane and Sydney very soon, we hope. Just a couple of other flags for the comedy festival. Our good friend Alan Bro is doing secret late shows. Secret late shows at 11 p.m. this Friday and Saturday night. Book now for those secret shows.
Great show.
The Shambles with Sauce, Valby and Lynchy. We like to get behind people on community television. They're doing something at the Gasworks